Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and my guest this week, very happy to have Dr. Sharon Lawrence, attending surgeon in general surgery at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Joel. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I know you do mostly general surgery. I want to talk about hernias in just a bit, but I want to get an idea exactly on a daily basis. When you're doing general surgeries, that means you're not planning a surgery for the next day. You kind of just as it comes into the emergency room. Is that how it works for you usually?
Well, there's a bit of a combination of that. Mostly we're seeing patients that come in through the emergency room. If you have any kind of a surgical need, particularly abdominal issues, and you come to the emergency room and you need someone to see you right away, that's me or someone in my team. I tend to see patients who have appendicitis or cholecystitis, might have an abscess that needs to be drained. And sometimes things that are more complicated, such as diverticulitis, patients who need the OR right away or who might need it in a few days before they leave the hospital.
So if I come into the emergency room and I have appendicitis and I'm diagnosed with that in the emergency room, how soon, and I'm in need of immediate surgery, how soon does that happen? You're down the hall and they give you a call and you run down to do it. How's that work?
Yeah, well, it happens that same day. But, you know, the process, you know, usually by the time I'm called, the diagnosis has been made. So you come into the emergency room. You see an emergency room doctor, they evaluate you, they might order a CAT scan and some labs, and you're waiting for the radiologist to read that and, you know, kind of make the diagnosis. And then the emergency room doctor will start some treatment with antibiotics and fluids, but then they'll call me at that time. And once I know about someone with an appendicitis or any issue, I come as soon as possible and evaluate and book for the operating room.
And that includes hernias?
It can.
So okay.
There are some hernias that are emergencies. Sometimes, you know, people have hernias for a long time and it doesn't cause them any problems. But every now and then you could have an incarcerated hernia or a strangulated hernia, which is basically the hernia is basically a hole in the strength layer of the abdomen. If you look down at your abdomen, it's your belly. You see just your skin and your belly button. Underneath that, you have several layers that give you strength and keep your abdomen together, everything inside. The strongest layer is called your fascia. It's a fibrous tissue layer. If there's a hole in that, then things from inside your abdomen can go through that hole and can get stuck. If they get stuck, that's an incarcerated hernia. If they get stuck to the point that blood supply is cut off and the tissue in there could die, then that's a strangulated hernia. Both of those are emergencies.
Okay.
So they might call you if you usually already have a known hernia and it becomes painful, or you start vomiting, have nausea, you have something that lets you know you're not feeling well when you come into the emergency room. That's when they could call me to see you.
So you mentioned that the first was a hole. Actually, they both a hole, but the second one being a strangulated. But what causes the hole? How does that happen? How does the hernia develop? The hole happen, and then how does the hernia develop?
So hernias, there are different ways. Sometimes people have hernias after they've had surgery in the past, and then they'll develop what's called an incisional hernia. You know, that strength layer was cut into at a certain point and sutured back together. And the area where it's been cut, that's a weak area. So it can have a place where it opens up. There are people that are at higher risk for that happening. Like if you had an infection in the abdomen when you had your first surgery, or if you had some kind of emergency surgery, or if you've had some weight gain and it's put stress on the abdominal wall.
Okay.
There are other hernias that form in natural openings in that strength layer. Like, for example, at your belly button actually has, at the belly button, there's usually a small opening there that's just naturally there. And over time, that can get bigger. That's, in fact, why sometimes a lot of children will have hernias at that site. It's called an umbilical hernia. In children, it can actually shrink over time, but in adults, it tends to get bigger and it become an issue, and people often will come in to look for repair.
Now, can you get a hernia from lifting something too heavy?
You can get a hernia from, let's say you have an incision already and you start lifting. What it does is really it puts stress on that on the incision or that opening, and kind of pulls it open, because that strength layer kind of wraps around your abdominal wall muscles. Whenever you're lifting something, you're activating those muscles, and they're pulling and putting tension on the wall. And if there's any point of an opening, that opening is now stressed and pulled on as well. In addition, it's putting increased pressure on your abdomen, so that things that are inside can be pushed out. So you can accidentally push, that increased pressure could push some fat out into the hernia, or push some bowel out into the hernia. So lifting can contribute to hernias. And actually, after surgery, we always tell patients no heavy lifting for a certain number of weeks, so that the incision can heal without risking developing a new hernia.
So how many, I'm afraid to ask this question, I don't suppose you can answer it during this, 25 minutes we have. How many different hernias are there?
there are quite a number.
There's
thousands.
They're
in different locations.
Hundreds, thousands?
Well, I wouldn't say hundreds, but there are a good number of, so you can have an umbilical hernia at your belly button. You can have any point anywhere in your abdominal wall, which would be a ventral hernia. You could have an incisional hernia, which could be at any place where you had a past surgery or past cuts. And then sometimes there are hernias kind of in your flank or on your side, basically on the side of your torso, or on the side of the muscles. They have special names like Spigelian hernia, flank hernias, such as no need to know the fancy names, but you can know that you might see a bulge on the side of your abdominal wall,
but there
or
are
in
a
the
lot,
middle.
There are a lot of fancy names.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's just the abdominal. That's just the abdominal wall. You can have hernias in your groin as well. And a lot of people, probably know hernias as that, the ones in your groin where you get a bulge, right above your thigh, in the crease of between your thigh and your groin itself. That's known as an inguinal hernia. And even with an inguinal hernia, there are two different types. And there are other, and this type of hernia, it actually occurs through naturally occurring openings in your fascia, where structures from your abdomen make their way out of the abdomen into the groin. And over time, those natural openings can weaken and open up, allowing other things to go through. So that's groin hernias. You can have hernias like a hiatal hernia, which is a weakness in the diaphragm, which is inside the muscle that is right below your lungs and assists with your breathing. So there are different types of hernias, and multiple. Each have a different approach, but all are addressed through surgery.
So how do you determine, let's say I'm getting some abdominal pain. It's safe to say I need to get that checked out. You don't want to ignore any type of abdominal pain. But what is a sign that, that pain may require a surgeon and it may be a hernia?
That's a good question. I often will see patients in the emergency room, and they will describe having had pains on and off and not knowing, not thinking too much of it and not knowing if they should get it checked out or not. You can have different, any number of reasons why you would have abdominal pain that would need a surgeon other than hernia. Usually with the hernia, you already know that you have it. You've seen a bulge. You've seen something popping out. And then once it becomes painful acutely, or it was not painful, then it becomes painful, then that's a good time to come to the emergency room and get it checked out. Other times, if you have a hernia and it causes a blockage or an obstruction, basically you all of a sudden you're having nausea and vomiting, you can't keep food down, that's a sign that you might have some bowel, some of your intestine stuck in that hernia, and you want to go and get checked out right away. Other causes for abdominal pain, that or other signs that you might want to come in when you have abdominal pain, basically, overall, are you having other symptoms like fevers and chills in addition to your abdominal pain? That could be concerning. Is the pain severe? Like, if you are you able to walk? If you're in a car and someone's driving you, does it hurt every time you hit a bump? That's actually something. That's a sign that you might have a serious infection in your abdomen, a peritonitis, and you definitely need to be seen by in the emergency room. But sometimes it's more subtle. You know, as a surgeon, I'm looking at, when I come to evaluate the patient, I want to know where exactly is the pain, because that gives me clues as to what's causing it. Mm-hmm. If you're having pain and underneath your rib cage on the right side, we call that right upper quadrant pain. That makes me think that it's your gallbladder. You probably have issues with your gallbladder. It's usually, sometimes it's crampy pain, sometimes it's sharp. It radiates, or basically the pain starts in that right side and travels through the middle of your abdomen or towards your back. It's frequently associated with eating. And it often will come and go. And that can be a sign that you have gallstones that are affecting, that are blocking your gallbladder. And then maybe moving, and so that the blockage goes away, so the pain comes and goes. That's the sign to at least see a surgeon. And if the pain comes and doesn't go away, then you should go to the emergency room, because you could have what's called cholecystitis, or inflammation of the gallbladder, and need your gallbladder out.
Is it always the case where you would go to the emergency room as opposed to just go to the doctor because you have some stomach pain?
No, it's not always the case. Sometimes, okay. You know, if the symptoms are mild, they come and they go, they kind of pass, then that's a good reason to talk to your primary doctor for evaluation. Because then, for example, like going back to their right-sided pain, right, on your upper abdomen, then if the pain comes and it goes away, you mention it to your primary care doctor, they'll usually think as well, you know, this could be related to the gallbladder, could be related to the liver, and they can send you for an ultrasound that will look at your gallbladder and your liver and kind of give you some answers. If they see stones on that, then they'll refer you to me or to, you know, a surgeon and say, you should probably get that checked out to see if they can take out the gallbladder electively, meaning not in an emergency setting, but instead at a time that works best for you as the patient.
Talking with Dr. Sharon Lawrence, attending surgeon in general surgery at JFK University Medical Center, and deals with hernias as well, you know, diagnosing, treating hernias. Some need surgery, obviously. If someone goes, can they go directly to you, or do they need to go to a primary care doctor first if they have an issue like this? Can they call you directly? Because we're going to give out your number later on in the program.
Yes. So I take new patients. They don't have to be referred from a primary doctor for me to see them. They can call our office. I see patients and evaluate them in the office. And if necessary, I can send them for imaging to evaluate the hernia further, whether it's a PET scan or ultrasound or whatever it may be. I can do the testing needed as well.
Okay, so if I have some abdominal pain and it's severe, and I either I go to the emergency room or I make an appointment with you and I come to you, and how is that when someone comes into your office for the first time with these symptoms, what are the steps involved?
So, you know, I will have to definitely, well, first I take the history, basically. Mm-hmm. I want to know, how long has this been a problem? What makes it worse? What are you feeling? And get all the details. In addition, I want to know the details about the patient's medical history. Do you have a lot of, do you have diabetes, high blood pressure, any medical conditions that we need to be aware of when it comes time for surgery? Have you had past surgeries? Because that affects, that might affect the surgery I'm doing or how I approach it. And then I need to do an exam. I need to be able to see the hernia and feel it. Depending on, and, you know, so I'll have you, expose the area. Sometimes I'll have you stand up and then sit down, flex your abdominal wall so I can kind of see how it moves when you move. But oftentimes people with hernias, as they, you know, if they're laying down and sit up, they'll see the bulge kind of pop up a little bit more. Sometimes you can feel the hernia kind of something come out and then go back in. If it's difficult to feel or see, then that's usually, then that might be when I send you for a CT scan. Or if it's a very large defect and I need to kind of the exact size for operative planning, then I might send you for a CT scan to kind of get a sense of how big it is, what's in the hernia, and what we're going to do. Once the plan is made for surgery, then, you know, you have to usually have clearance from your physician and come in for the procedure. We discuss beforehand what the approach will be. Surgery can be done in an open fashion where, you know, I make a big cut to access the hernia, or it can be done in a minimally invasive fashion where, you know, you do laparoscopy or robot-assisted hernia repair. Almost always mesh is involved. Mesh is a synthetic sheet, like kind of like a net that's used to reinforce the abdominal wall. And we use that because it greatly reduces the chance of the hernia coming back.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to just sewing up the hole.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
When you just sew up the hole, oftentimes it will come back. In a lot of patients, it will come back in a couple of years. But when you use mesh, that reduces that risk greatly.
So the treatment is that one of the surgeries that you recommended, either an open surgery, which you said, which is you cut open the patient, laparoscopic, mm-hmm. which you kind of go in like one or two holes.
Yeah, a few holes, usually on the side, depending on where the hernia is.
How often is it necessary to do an open surgery?
So it often depends on the size of the defect. Sometimes it's an open surgery can actually be a very small incision. You know, like if you have like an inguinal hernia and it's a very simple one and a small one, sometimes it can be very easy to just do an open incision and do that to get to it. Your incision will be like, you know, four, like 5 centimeters. Or if you have a belly button hernia that's quite small, sometimes, you know, it's quite easy to just do an open incision and put in a small mesh. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, if you have a really large defect, that's also often a good time to do an open surgery so that you can really define the defect. Sometimes you have to take down bowel that's adherent intestine that's kind of has scar tissue and is stuck before that you can put in your mesh. And so sometimes doing an open surgery makes that easier. The upside of doing an open surgery is that you can also cut away, if it's like an incisional hernia where you had a past surgery, you can remove any scar. You can remove some scar tissue that's there that would make things harder to heal. And you can remove your, you can close the defect a little bit better. But sometimes, you know, it can be easier when you do minimally invasive is preferred if, let's say, you have like a recurrent hernia, you have a mesh in there already. And, you know, you're going to have to do some dissecting, especially if you, let's say you have an inguinal hernia and they've had a past open hernia repair with a mesh that's on the outer part of the defect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, going in with a minimally invasive surgery allows me to put a mesh on the other side so that I'm not having to fight with the old scar tissue and old mesh. You know, so there are different factors that kind of go into deciding what's the best approach.
So kind of doubling it up when you put the mesh on the other side.
Yeah, and covering the defect that's returned.
Now, the downside of the open is that you're going to have some visible scars on the outside, I would imagine, larger scars than you would have with the laparoscopic.
Correct. But sometimes, you know, with the laparoscopic, you can still have the hernia defect. You have the mesh reinforcing your abdominal wall, but you still have a bit of a defect. And so if you're worried about the actual appearance of the hernia and that bulge, you might still have that bulge because it's harder when you do. Mm. It can be more difficult with the laparoscopic to get that hernia sac down. Using robotics kind of makes that a little bit easier, but it's still, you know, something to consider.
Right, I was going to ask you about robotics. So robotics can be used for the open or the laparoscopic.
Well, no. So when you do open, then you're just doing open.
It's, okay.
It's, you make the incision and you're going to your hernia. But the robotics is like a step above laparoscopic in that, you know, it gives you there's more dexterity, you know, with the tools. So with laparoscopic, you have very long, rigid tools, and so that's better for if you're doing minimally invasive repair on something that's relatively simple and small hernia. But if you have something that's bigger and you need to do a lot of dissection on the inside, then you want to do robotics because, you know, you have an easier ability to move your tools and get into different corners and crevices than you do if you're just doing straight laparoscopic.
Okay, so the robotics only used for laparoscopic, not the open.
Correct.
Right, okay. Because it wouldn't it be more accurate in the open? Because the robotic is more accurate?
Robotics is, it's like a form of laparoscopy in that with this type of surgery, you need your abdomen closed because we add gas, we insufflate the abdomen. Basically, we add air into the abdomen to expand the working space. So we fill up the abdomen. So if we cut the abdomen open, we can't do that anymore. So that's why you can't use the robot for open surgery.
Okay.
How
do I know how dangerous my pain is, or my hernia is? If someone just has, as you said, if someone has a little bit of pain, they could probably just go to their primary care doctor. But if I'm getting a lot of pain, how do I know if it's a hernia and just not a stomach ache or something like that?
Right. So that's a good point because, I think at home, you know, it's sometimes hard to discern. Usually if you're having just some mild, it's basically the intensity of the pain can give you, and the onset of the pain, you know, you want to do this, is it very severe pain? Is it associated with, what we call systemic symptoms like fevers or chills or nausea or vomiting or with, you know, just feeling unwell in general, or do you, just have, a little bit of mild pain in the area that goes away or mm-hmm. is resolved with Tylenol and Motrin. You know, it's the severity and, you know, the onset, you know, were you having zero pain and then all of a sudden you woke up with sharp pain, you know, that's more concerning than if you've had, you know, mild pain that's been getting slow, a little bit worse over time and now it's just become kind of painful and, you know, you can still, but you otherwise feel okay or can keep it controlled, then, yeah, you can see your primary care doctor to evaluate that versus to start the evaluation. Now, if you're ever having symptoms that are concerning and you're really not sure, you know, and it crosses your mind that something just doesn't feel right and you want immediate care, then by all means, go to the emergency room and get an emergent evaluation and make sure everything's fine. But if you're, if you know, the severity is, you know, mild, if it's not associated with multiple other symptoms suggesting that your whole body is affected by it, then, you know, it's safe to start, you know, slowly, you know, looking into it by going to your primary care doctor and having them kind of look into it or even coming, asking for a hernia evaluation and going directly to the surgeon's office.
Doctor, thank you so much. Dr. Sharon Lawrence, attending surgeon in general surgery at JFK University Medical Center, and of course, taking care of any type of hernias. I didn't realize how many there were. There's so many names for so many different types of hernia.
Definitely.
But you can take care of them, right? And if you want more info, you can go to jfkmc.org. Or what was the number to your office where someone can call and make an appointment? You're taking new patients, you mentioned.
Sure. Yeah. They can reach our office, the Surgical Practices of Central New Jersey, at 732-548-1000.
Okay, great. And for a podcast of this broadcast, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.